Keitaro Harada, welcome back to Georgia.
Thank you so much. I feel back home already.
So I gather that matchmaking between an orchestra and a conductor is a little bit like dating. Like everyone's checking each other out. And at the heart of it, it really comes down to chemistry. So when you led the Savannah Philharmonic in your sort of trial week of concerts last spring in music of Gershwin and Stravinsky, was it a sort of shy warming up or was it more like love at first sight?
You know, you're exactly right. Whenever I guest conduct any orchestra for the first time, it's like a blind date. You don't really know each other. And just like in any date in real life person, you're just judging each other. Right from the moment that I'm walking on stage to the first rehearsal, I could feel this energy that they're, you know, checking me out. And at the same time, I'm checking them out too. But in the case with the Savannah Philharmonic this past spring, when we did a concert with Marcus Roberts, it was definitely a love at first sight. We immediately clicked from the first rehearsal. Just the way I rehearse, they understood. They understood my language. They understood the way I make music and how I try to make the composer's intentions come to life. And they quickly responded, and they really wanted to make my thoughts happen. So it was really a wonderful music making session. And I think we really knew through the rehearsals that there was something special. And I'm really thankful that they have decided to appoint me as their new music and artistic director.
Because of previous commitments around the globe, you're not full music director in Savannah till a year from now. This season, you're just leading the opening and closing concerts. For now, where is home?
For now, home is Cincinnati, Ohio, Tampa, Florida. My wife is a tennis player, and Tampa is the hub for tennis, and Tokyo, Japan, and also some percentage of the year it will be Savannah, Georgia. So four homes.
Okay. Will your wife be living in Savannah with you, or is that just a base for you?
My wife is with me this week, and as much as she can, she will be with me when we are both in Savannah. This is important that new music director is part of the community. My wife really much embraces the community here. For the price of one, they get two. So it's really, really wonderful. And we are really meeting wonderful people and understanding the community and trying to see how what we have and our experience and our past can positively influence Savannah.
Did you two meet through music or tennis or something else?
We were introduced by a mutual friend, but we actually met for the first time or started talking over Instagram. And after 10 days of talking on Instagram, I actually flew her to Cincinnati. She was in Tokyo at that time. And we met in Cincinnati. And within 24 hours, we decided we should just get married. It was just truly like, oh, this is the right person for each other. And she comes from a very famous fashion designer family. And so a lot of media attention was happening in Japan about her wedding dress. So there was a New York Times article about her wedding. You know, it just all of a sudden it happened. This month we're celebrating our second year.
Oh, happy anniversary.
Thank you.
Let's go back to the beginning and back to music. Conductors usually naturally start as something else musically because you don't grow up with an orchestra to play. So back as a kid in Tokyo, what was your first instrument or musical training?
I started off as a saxophonist. My passion in music came from musicals. I saw West Side Story as a child in the movie form and also from our school production. And I was just fascinated by the entire thing, not just the music, but also the theatrical aspect, the songs, the costumes, the set. And I thought, this is what I really wanted to do. And I really wanted to pursue that career. I came to Michigan to attend Interlochen Arts Academy to learn how to be a doubler, trying to play different kinds of instruments, to be a pit musician in New York, Chicago, Broadway, you know, London, and be part of that musical scene. I wish I was on stage and was dancing and singing, but I'm a horrible singer and poor dancer, so that was not going to be my career. But I really just embraced being in the pit, in the orchestra pit, playing in musicals, and I did that a lot growing up.
So when did you get the conducting bug?
It was in high school. I was fortunate to be under the direction of Frederick Fennell, the wonderful wind ensemble conductor. Playing under him was an inspiration, and I approached him about becoming a conductor, and he opened opportunities for me.
What was the first piece you ever conducted in public? Do you remember?
Yes, it was the encore to one of the wind ensemble concerts. It was, we call it at Interlochen, the Interlochen theme, but it's actually the beautiful second theme from Hansen's Second Symphony.
And then tell me a little bit about your student days in Macon. What brought you to Mercer?
So my first year, I actually was a student at University of Illinois. And one summer, I went to a master class in Russia where I met the former music director of Macon Symphony, Adrian Gonam. And I really thought that he would be a perfect person that I could learn a lot from. He formerly played in the Cleveland Orchestra. He was the music director for Eugene Symphony in Oregon and then with the Macon Symphony. And I thought, this guy knows a lot about, you know, what I want to be. And so I approached him and he said, well, come to Macon and you could be my student and attend Mercer University and alongside be the assistant conductor for the Macon Symphony Orchestra. Now, as you know, it's hard for conductors to get better because you can't really practice, you know, a violinist, pianist, they could practice on their instrument. But, you know, conductors, we could hold the stick and look at the mirror for hours, but it's not going to make us better conductors. So I had the idea of creating a youth orchestra. There was no youth orchestra in the community at that moment. So I created a youth orchestra. And in that way, once a week, I had my own orchestra to develop my musicianship and also be able to conduct once a week.
It must take a different set of skills to conduct the Moscow Symphony than to conduct a brand new youth orchestra.
You know, you would think, but I think it's just a different mindset. The body language is actually still the same.
I'm curious briefly about the skills that go into being a good conductor and then the skills that go into being a good music director, which might be different.
I think the skill set for being a good conductor comes to curiosity. We spend so much time in front of a score in our own, you know, study space, and we continuously have conversations staring at these scores. With pieces, most of the pieces that conductors conduct, the composer happens to not be alive, so you can't just simply instant message them and get answers. So you have to really dive deep into what they were like when they were writing the piece. I absolutely love reading biographies, trying to figure out, well, what did Beethoven, where was Beethoven when he wrote this piece? What was he eating? Who was around him? Or who was this composer in love with when this melody was created? Those kind of things. It may not be the exact answer, but it gives some influence to what they decided to put in ink and notes. So that's all comes down to curiosity. And the more curious that I am, the more creative that I become when it comes to the music making. And in regards to the music director, I think the skill set is also the same. I have to be curious about this community in Savannah. Savannah is a very well-known town. It is a great vacation spot. It has a wonderful community, and it's always thriving, and it has a lot of people here. But it's a mix of people who are Savannians or people who call Savannah home, and then it's a mix of people who come here as tourists. So as a music director, I need to figure out what is the best way of bringing in classical music, orchestral music to this community that attracts both ends of the consumers here in Savannah.
Mm. The press release about your hiring says that Harada continuously reimagines the role that music plays in building community. And so what does that mean, to use music to build community?
I think for me as music director in Savannah, I have to be able to tell the story of Savannah. I think the biggest challenge is for me to create concert and programming and themes of seasons that is completely unique to Savannah that only the Savannah Philharmonic can do, which means trying to bring out the culture and the history of this place, collaborating with local artists, and then also just coming outside of the boundary of performing at a concert venue and audience have to be quiet. I would like to go away from that mold. I think every orchestra, their struggle is to get more younger audience. And there's nothing that can positively happen if you just wait for the young audiences to come. I have the approach of you have to actually bring the music to where the young audiences are. So, you know, creating a buzz, creating unconventional performance venues that an orchestra wouldn't usually play, but finding what the niche is in Savannah.
I'm wondering if you could put the Savannah Philharmonic onto the sort of orchestral map. Are there categories or tiers of orchestras? And where does the 10-year-old Savannah Philharmonic fit into that scheme?
The Savannah Philharmonic, it being very young, is a per-service orchestra. It attracts musicians from the Atlanta area, from Florida, from even from some Midwest, and some musicians fly in from New York. People from, you know, the Georgia area or within the 100, 200 mile radius, it makes sense that they would come to Savannah. But it also attracts people who actually fly in to come and play with this orchestra, which really speaks a lot about the environment of the musicians and this organization. So in order to put Savannah Philharmonic on the map of, you know, the big history of orchestras in the United States, I have to really think of what is, as I said before, unique that only we can do, that gains national attention, where people will seek the interest of what is Harada doing with Savannah. This is still my third day at the job, so I need to still figure out what is so unique about Savannah. But I'm starting to get a sense of that. I just need to put it in forward motion. And what's great is that this season, I'm a music and artistic director designate, which gives me a cushion of time before I announce my first real season in the spring. Mm-hmm. And I'll start, you know, in the fall of 2020. I have time to observe and really understand the people and the needs of the musician and the organization.
In general, do you notice differences between Japanese classical culture, concert culture, and the culture around classical music in the U.S.?
The biggest difference is that in Japan, no one stands to applaud. I don't know why that is. When I attend a concert in Japan, I have the tendency to stand up and applaud if the performance was really wonderful. But I really stick out like a sore thumb because no one else around me would stand. But it's not that they don't appreciate the concert. It's just that that's not what they do. Uh-huh. As far as classical music and appreciation of classical music, I come from Tokyo. I was born and raised in Tokyo. And I think it's the city that has the most number of classical music concerts anywhere in the world, in a particular day in a full year. And it has, in just one city, was it 8 full-time professional orchestras? And then just tons of amateur orchestras. Everyone likes coming to the concerts, and it's always packed. But I'm so used to doing concerts and being an audience and a performer in the United States. I think the enthusiasm in both countries are very much alike, and the love and the passion is there. I don't see huge differences between the two.
In all your travels so far, are there any juicy stories or memorable moments from performances? Like maybe things that go wrong that are funny later? Batons flying off into the cello section? I don't know.
Batons flying happens pretty often. I was in the audience, but I've seen episodes where the conductor poked his eyes with the baton. Yeah. It's not funny at all.
No.
But, you know, with conducting batons, when I saw a conductor injure himself with a baton, I really, really thought about the material of baton I'm using. There are so many different kinds of materials for batons, from the very cheap ones that are made out of wood to the very expensive one, hundreds of dollars, that is made out of like titanium or materials that don't break. And I was using one of those like $50, $60 ones that was a fiberglass one. But the moment that I saw someone injure himself on stage and started bleeding in front of the orchestra, I thought, never again am I going to use my fiberglass baton, because if it hits something, I need it to break. And so now I use this baton that's like $6 on Amazon that's made out of wood.
All right.
So I know if it hits me or if it hits something, it will just crack.
Tools of the trade. It's important to think about.
Exactly. And it's light too, so it's nice, you know.
What about life outside music when you're not studying scores or planning programs? You got hobbies?
I play tennis with my wife. And when I say I play tennis, it's very pathetic. I'm pretty okay for a standard, you know, enthusiast of tennis. I played tennis in high school. But my wife is a professional, so she's clearly much better. And she gives me like 4 games of handicap when we play matches. And then she doesn't, you know, she can beat me any day. I try to make sure I'm healthy. So exercising and playing sports becomes a good hobby of mine, because a lot of the time I'm spent just sitting and studying scores. So, or else the body becomes very tired and not strong.
And my final non-musical question is, do you have any heroes or favorite inspirational quotes?
This is a quote from my wife's grandfather, who's a famous fashion designer in Japan. And he said in Japanese, "Naritai hito ni narinasai," which in English directly translates into "be the person who you aspire to be," or "be the person that you need to be." It speaks to me a lot, because you don't want to be someone who you're not. When you're in the arts industry, you have other people that inspire you, other people who challenge you, other people you might be jealous of. The tendency naturally is to compare yourself with others, but that's not the important thing in life. And especially as an artist, it's becoming who you must be, or who you can be, or who you want to be, and knowing that, and then working diligently every day to hone your craft to be that person, unaffected by others. So be the person that you want to be. It speaks to me a lot.
Nice. Keitaro K. Harada is the new music director and artistic director designate of the Savannah Philharmonic. Saturday, they open the new season together at the Lucas Theater with a program of Bernstein, Gershwin, and Mussorgsky. Kay, it's been a real pleasure. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much for your time.
I'm Sarah Zaslow, and this is GPB.